Welcome
to Cheers to Business.
Welcome to Cheers to Business podcast.
My plan is to do the best I can today.
And you can create your own path.
Then why aren't we doing this?
But there are solutions. This is what's frustrating for us about the lack of bandwidth is from a tactical standpoint of day-to-day operations. There are IT solutions out there that will reduce costs for businesses orders of magnitude.
Hey everybody, welcome to Cheers to Business Podcast. My name is John Kublank.
And this is John Hill.
And we are at New Braunfels Brewing Company in downtown New Braunfels with the great Alan White of CMIT Solutions. How are you today, Alan?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good. John, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you know Alan? And
Alan and I actually were involved in a couple, in a group here in New Braunfels, in a community, and I actually drank beer with him several times, me and
that is shocking.
Him and Neil, actually. Neil, he's good buddies with Neil. But
we love Neil.
Yeah, I actually, one of the big things when we started doing this podcast, Alan really stuck out to me because I saw him like speaking about his business on LinkedIn when nobody else was doing that. And I thought that was really interesting that somebody here in this local market actually got the value in doing that.
Sure.
And then, you know, through conversation, we talked more about kind of, you know, CMIT. So why don't you just give us a little bit of context into that about, you know, CMIT, what you do, and how that came to be.
Okay. Well, CMIT is an IT solutions business for small businesses. So we only support smaller businesses, 5 users or more. It's actually a franchise out of Austin. So I've got the territory that's everything in between Austin and San Antonio, essentially. But we do complete IT management, network design, server upgrades, all that sort of stuff, backups and all that, just to keep businesses up and running. But yeah, LinkedIn was something that, you know, I was on LinkedIn almost from the beginning when I was working in the industry in a corporation. I worked in the semiconductor industry in Austin for 20-something years.
Right.
So I was on LinkedIn already. And as part of my business, you know, my business is mostly New Braunfels area, but it's really more regional. I have clients in Austin all the way to San Antonio. I have clients out in Fredericksburg. Which is another growing area.
But oh, absolutely.
I've heard.
Very impressive what's going on there.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of clients out toward Houston as well that have connections back this way. So we're, you know, somewhat, I would think, more regional in the way we do business. But LinkedIn has really allowed me to expand my reach in the region and, you know, just make those connections with other professionals that can give me referrals for my business and that sort of thing.
Sure. So
that's how that really came about.
Huh. So as far as CMIT, I mean, when you hear network solutions, you hear everybody has almost a different term or idea of what that means. I know I do. Does that mean just like creating actual networks within like the private network for small companies, or does that include like business intelligence and data, or is that just the network standpoint? Can you kind of...
Well, it's really just the network standpoint, and as far as data goes, we just do backup and business continuity. So we don't really do much business intelligence. We're more of a infrastructure type solution.
Yeah.
So I've got clients, for instance, one of them in Fredericksburg is a fairly good-sized construction company. They do a lot of work with TxDOT. So they've got remote people all over the state of Texas. And we've set them up now where we have a cloud-based file share for those remote people that comes back in and syncs to their server on the site.
Right.
And, you know, as far as business intelligence or data management, that's the sort of stuff we do. And I think in a lot of ways that separates us from a lot of our competitors because we're doing more than just backing up to a local drive. We're making data accessible and protecting it and making the business more efficient in that way.
I think, you know, IT solutions is kind of like sometimes, I mean, it's obviously more important, or it's more, you know, you can see it more in especially some industries, but I don't necessarily feel like businesses or small business owners are super excited about network management and you know, network design. Do you find that most of your clients should have contacted you earlier before they started, or do you feel like that you know, most of your clients, when they reach out to you, it's at the right time?
No, the earlier the better. We do offices. I've got some offices that are, you know, Neil's office, for instance, he's got three people in there. Everybody, every business has a computing network. It needs a computing network solution. And no matter how small that network is, it needs management in some fashion. You know, it could be as simple as just making sure backups are getting done regularly and that they can recover from it and that sort of thing. I think a lot of people don't realize how important their data actually is to their business. It is their business.
Yeah.
You can run a business from anywhere today as long as you have your data.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that's the thing we focus on. Yeah, and if I could, you know, if I could get in earlier, it's better, because we can design solutions for smaller, and as they grow, we can scale it up.
Yeah.
Without them having to just totally replace everything.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of education that has to go in on your part of kind of helping people understand that, or understanding the risks in not doing that?
It varies. I have, you know, I have clients who are very tech aware. The company over in Fredericksburg I referenced earlier, the CFO who is taking over for the CFO who's retiring this year, is a fairly young guy. He's probably early 30s, but he worked for some larger companies, and he was involved in some of their almost a CTO type role for them. So he gets it as far as technology goes. But we've got, you know, I've got local business owners who run a plumbing company who get it. You know,
yeah, yeah.
They get it because they know they need to be up and running. They know their data needs to be protected. But then I've got some that have no clue that we have to educate quite a bit. And it's really interesting to see them, see the light go on when you put a solution in place and they see the value of it and how much easier it makes their lives. That's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to see that.
One of the things that kind of ties into what we were talking about earlier is so in your business, I'd imagine you're heavily dependent on the communications and the infrastructure going on, you know, on site at the business itself.
At the building.
So like kind of what their speed, what their internet connection's like, what their, you know, I guess imagine the wiring in the house or the business that they're in. I mean, what is that like in a small, I mean, at the enterprise level, I imagine there's different scale there, so their solutions are different. When you're talking about a small business owner, that
like even Neil's house, like it's an older house, it's on a back road in New Braunfels. It's a business now.
It may have copper going, you know, to the house that has limits your abilities. I mean, what is that like in your business to help people understand? Let's make this as good as we can, or here's what we can do to even go above and beyond that.
Well, there are certain things. I'm glad you brought up Neil, because it was and Neil's one of those who gets it, right?
Yeah.
He's a sharp guy. He gets it.
But we only let sharp guys come on our show. And women. Sharp people.
And guys that make beer.
That's true.
Those are the first ones.
Yeah. Right. And Neil gave us beer all day long. That was awesome.
Neil makes pretty good beer.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, in that office in particular, it had to be wired for the network, right? So a lot of smaller businesses try to run a wireless network, which is nothing but trouble for the most part. I'm a big believer you need a wired cable network, a hardwired network.
Just more reliability.
Yeah, it's more reliable, it's more secure, it's faster.
Right.
And so it's easier to manage remotely as well. I mean, I can log in and fix a problem in 5 minutes instead of driving half an hour and then trying to figure it out. But yeah, it's in these older offices around here, but you get a mix, right, with all the growth. You've got new office buildings that are being built. You know, some stuff out of Creekside, it's already pre-wired and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's plug and play for the most part. But yeah, it's the older type buildings are a challenge. A lot of them are not really easily wired,
right,
because of the type of structure they are. We did a wireless setup at the Faust Hotel for the guest floors, and these walls are stucco, basically.
Yeah.
They're cement with chicken wire in them,
right?
So they're like Faraday cages.
Yeah.
And you walk in the room, you can't even get a wireless signal.
Yeah.
So we had to set up the wireless access points on the floors to actually get the signal through the ceiling and the floor to the next floor instead of going through the walls.
Oh.
So we had to sit down and figure out where to place them to get maximum coverage like that. It's worked pretty well, but that was quite a challenge. But that's the sort of building you have in some of the older buildings around here. But like I say, some of the newer stuff is a lot more fun.
Well, no, I work in some of that, my 8-to-5, and it's amazing to me how, like, the market almost thinks that we have this whole Wi-Fi thing, wireless internet things. Like, I mean, they're truly convinced that, oh, when 5G comes out, I mean, I'm going to be able to have, you know, 1 gig speeds at my house from my couch. And I'm like, dude, we can't get 20 meg in your 1,500 square foot apartment right now, downright. I guarantee you the big guys are going to have a hard time with that whole wireless thing.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me that I see that. And where I kind of go back to that question I was asking you is that a lot of times people don't really even know who to call when those issues start happening.
Right.
So I imagine that that's got to be somewhat of an education process in itself too, right?
It is.
People understand where the problem is or if there is a problem.
Right, it is. And the problem you run into, it's one big network, right? So your local network and everything on the internet is now one big network.
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of business programs that will access network or internet sites in the background. You don't even know it. You don't know where your data is going half the time. So if you don't have good bandwidth to the internet, and you're not going to match your local network. Your local network is running, you know, 100 times faster than what your internet access is. But you've got to understand where the data goes and what the speeds are to get there. And we have to solve, we solve quite a few problems that way. I mean, I've walked into offices where they're, oh, everything's so slow, and I don't even have to run anything on their network to tell them what the problem is.
Yeah.
You know, this switch needs to be upgraded. You need to upgrade your internet connection. That sort of thing. But yeah, it's a hodgepodge around here too, as far as internet.
Do you see a lot of issues that are just, you know, fall back on the fact that we have some, how do I say this? There are some infrastructure issues in the way that communications are kind of laid out in New Braunfels, as far as, you know, DSL and the age of a plan in the ground and those type of things. Do you see issues with that?
Definitely, all the time.
Right.
It's gotten better in the last couple of years. You know, as bad as some of these companies can be, I will say that Spectrum has actually upped their game a little bit in this area from what it used to be.
I've heard they've been putting some nodes in.
Yeah, so it's better. It's, you know, more bandwidth. It's more reliable bandwidth, but we still have problems.
Yeah.
You know, problems that you wouldn't think we would have in this day and age, right?
Well, that's
just internet connection.
I think this goes back to the economic development, too. I mean, that's part of growing town and making sure that the unseen infrastructure underneath the town is able to build what you want. You know, one of the, this is interesting, but in 2012, I worked for a company called Westex Printing. James Blake lives here in town. He's a good friend of mine. And I said, why don't you move downtown? Like, why don't, because the offices we were at were too small. And he said, the infrastructure is not right. Right. And so, like, it can impede businesses coming to New Braunfels if the unseen infrastructure is not there.
Well, that's kind of the, you know, when we're talking about this Castell thing earlier, that's one of the things where I try to, you can't get too far in the weeds when you try to go through this.
Right.
Having this conversation, especially after like 3 beers.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, that's what economic development is about, right? Is that type of stuff. And if you don't plan for it, then you'll just wait until it's too late, and then you'll be at a point where we're kind of close there now as far as communications go, where it's like, okay, who's going to come in here and build fiber? Who's going to come in and, you know, trench through the streets and do all that type of stuff? And all the providers are like,
I'm not going to
pick up
that bill.
I don't want to tear up the streets.
Right.
And, you know, that business case will never make sense for us.
Right.
And that's why you have to plan through these things, because if you don't, the costs will just get higher and higher while the need keeps expanding, and you get to a point where you don't have a choice, and then taxpayers are really pissed.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's where I talk about, like, how that lays into your business. I mean, everything from, like, phones and everything is dependent on the infrastructure.
Definitely.
You know, so I imagine you have to spend a lot of time having that education process.
Absolutely. And even, you know, even once we do it, right, I'll go in, and I've done this. I've walked into offices where they had a 5 megabit download and a 1 megabit upload, and they had a network of 25 people, and you're wondering why everything's so slow going to the internet.
Absolutely.
I tell them, you need to upgrade to, you know, this amount of minimum, and they call the provider, and it's 4x what they're paying now.
Right.
And I'm like, but the efficiency you're going to gain on the other side is going to be worth it, mm-hmm. ultimately.
Right.
It's hard to make that case sometimes, but it really is.
Right.
But there are solutions. This is what's frustrating for us about the lack of bandwidth. It's from a tactical standpoint of day-to-day operations. There are IT solutions out there that will reduce costs for businesses, you know, orders of magnitude, right? VoIP is a good example of that, right? And the flexibility that it provides is huge too, but the cost savings are huge for a hosted VoIP system. But you've got to have bandwidth for that.
Yep.
Because on a VoIP system, if you don't have the bandwidth, you're going to notice it in the voice quality before you ever notice it in slow data.
Or just functioning, period.
It can't connect to the server, right? And we see that a lot. We see a lot. Every problem I've ever had with VoIP when I've installed it somewhere has been bandwidth related. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an easy fix. It just costs money.
Yeah. So, Alan, tell us a little bit about your background. What made you get into IT? You know, you obviously purchased this franchise. You know, what were you doing before?
Give us
a little background.
Semiconductor story in Austin 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That sounds like an interesting topic.
Well,
tell us about that.
Yeah, I have very humble beginnings and continue to live a very humble life, it seems. But I grew up on the Mississippi Gulf Coast in a little place called Van Cleve, which is not too far from Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Mississippi State guy.
Went to Mississippi State University, got a degree in computer engineering back in the mid-'80s, late-'80s. First job out of there was a company called Cypress Semiconductor. They're out of Silicon Valley. It was a really good job. I enjoyed a lot. But doing chip design, doing circuit design on integrated, you know, on integrated circuits. And so that was right there in Starkville where Mississippi State is. And I lived there for about 6 years after I graduated working there. And I got a call from a recruiter, and they were recruiting from Motorola in Austin. This was like probably 1990, I think, or somewhere around in there, 91. And so I went to Austin for the interview and just fell in love with Austin. I mean, this was back when Austin wasn't crowded.
Right.
Right. You'd roll up a Mopac, there'd be 12 cars. So I came back from that. And actually, my wife came out with me on that too. So we were flying back, and we were like, we've got to move to Austin. But I didn't take that job. Where I was working, they said, hey, you know, we'll do whatever we can to keep you or whatever. So I stuck around longer. A few years later, I got had a friend working at AMD in Austin. He called me up and said, man, we need somebody. So I took that opportunity to move to Austin. That was in 1995. So I worked there on and off in about three different semiconductor companies over the years. The last one, I was actually back at AMD working on processors. Fun work, interesting work, you know, a lot of physics and that sort of thing.
Sure.
It's a passion for me.
Yeah.
Back in 2011, they were going through some tough times, had a layoff, and basically rounded up the old guys,
right.
You know. I was tired of it by then, tired of the corporate politics and that sort of thing. So I said, you know, I'm going to do something on my own. I want to do something else. I've always believed that if you really want to build wealth, you have to own something.
Right.
Right. You can't just work for other people. And, you know, I had to make a living. I had to start generating an income somehow. So I invested money I had and got into this business. And main reason, I just didn't want to throw away my education and my experience for the most part. And I like technology. It's something I'm passionate about. But I'm passionate about technology and how you use it to get things done.
Right.
I'm not so much of, you know, what's the latest fad or whatever.
Right.
My iPhone's probably older than anybody's, but you know, I like to use it to get things done. So
practical use.
Yeah. So this seemed like a good place for me to do that.
Yeah.
And it has been. It really has.
How long has that been now?
I've been in business 5.5 years.
Okay.
So tell me about when you started. You were here in New Braunfels, already when you started this, or were you still in Austin?
No, I lived in Austin for most of the first year when I was running a business.
And then you relocated down here?
Yeah, so I had opened an office in San Marcos, and I worked from it for that first year. And then I opened the second office here in New Braunfels within about the end of that first year. As I got down here, and I had been to New Braunfels before, obviously, for, you know, Schlitterbahn or whatever, and really liked it. But as I got down here working the market and developing the business, it seemed to me that the center of this thing needed to be New Braunfels.
Yeah.
Because, you got New Braunfels, you got Seguin, you got Schertz, all right here in a circle that every place is just growing.
Yeah.
Right? So we were still living in Austin, and so we started looking between Austin and San Antonio for a place to move to. And you know, if you're from here and you've lived here a long time, I don't think you realize how special New Braunfels is. But if you look at it from our perspective, it was the only thing that made sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice town. It's got, and my daughters are, I got two teenage daughters. Thank you for your concern there. Which is a different experience in itself.
How old?
You seemed a little on edge.
How old?
17 and 15.
Oh, okay. Man.
All right.
So, poor guy.
Looking at the school systems and all, NBISD is where we ended up, and we're very happy with it. It's been a very good experience for both of them. Just looking at what we wanted as a family, New Braunfels made the most sense. And it's a decision, and it's been great, especially for my girls. They just blossomed here. They love it.
So you were kind of all over the place, Austin, San Marcos, New Braunfels. What was the marketing looking like for you? Were you just knocking on businesses' doors, chamber mixers? I mean, it sounds like you kind of networked well, but what was your philosophy? What was your style to do that?
Well, I tried a lot of different things early on, some cold calling and stuff like that. You know, the thing that's really worked the most over time has been really Google. I mean, just people finding me.
Right.
I can't sell you anything if you're not having a problem.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down
yeah.
to.
Do you manage, are you actually, is it organic, or do you actually do some AdWords work?
Yeah,
or?
We do some AdWords as well. I've done it, from the beginning on and off. I did it myself to begin with. You found out I wasn't very good at it.
Yeah.
Got a lot of clicks, but they were useless clicks.
Sure.
So I got a company doing it now. They're a little better than I am at it.
Well, that's good.
I'm sorry.
No, go for it.
Are you kind of up on the whole net neutrality thing? Is that something that you even concern about, or you guys mess with it about, or do you have any thoughts on that? It's a hot topic right now. So
yeah, well, from a business perspective, it doesn't really matter to us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. It's not.
It's not going to have an impact on
you.
I know that people. It seems like one of those things that everybody has an opinion on because it's gone political for whatever reason, but you know, it is kind of like that. It's like nobody really knows what this does anyway. So
yeah, I think the only issue that I have with net neutrality is that there isn't a whole lot of, and I haven't done my research enough, and so maybe that's just the answer to it. But there isn't a whole lot of information about what's the long-term implications of it. The only thing good I can say about it is there's potentially an opportunity for security increases from the network providers, and also liability, like holding liability for the network providers for if they're going to censor something, then they also have to have more infrastructure to protect, you know, the what's coming through. So I would say that would be the only positive that I have, but I definitely need to, you know, there definitely needs to be more conversation.
Well,
about
it's a complicated.
It is.
There's a lot of things going on there.
Yeah.
I think really what reason I ask the question is just because I think that a lot of people, when it comes to IT and especially Google, people, you know, for whatever reason have these misconceptions about it. I think a lot of it's just lack of education about it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going on there. You actually outsource your AdWords stuff now, or?
Yeah, we do. We have a partner through our franchise.
Do you do your own LinkedIn publications?
Yes, I do all that stuff.
That's awesome, man. Most people, like, I have people come to me like, I want to get on LinkedIn and do some paid ads and stuff. I'm like, dude, you know, your audience is already like, anybody that follows you is like, you're very relevant to them, just get on there and post some stuff.
Right.
You know, just get some updates about business. It doesn't have to be crazy technical. Just, you know, talk about what's going on in the market.
Write articles.
Yeah.
Write articles about anything.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I don't like about LinkedIn. There's a lot, too many people are just sharing articles that somebody else wrote. Now, if you're sharing mine, that's great.
Yeah, keep doing that, please.
Yeah, keep doing that. Don't stop. But I'd like to see more original content and what people really think about things.
Right.
And so I write articles on, you know, telling business owners, I give them solutions. You know, I give them complete solutions. If they want to do it themselves, then get on and do it. You know, yeah, hop on it. Right?
Right.
What's a small issue that most or that you see that repeatedly over and over again that consumers typically can fix themselves without having to call you? What's a sort of a headache that
back up their data?
Back up their data.
I can't believe people. You know, there's so many cloud solutions now that you can you can get set up within 15 minutes and be backing up your data.
What does CMIT recommend for data backing up?
Well, we use our own.
If you had to use a third party.
I mean, you can back up even to Google if you want to. But, you know, a lot of people confuse that. That's not really a backup necessarily. That's more of a sync and share. So if you delete it in one place, it deletes it in both places.
Right.
A real backup is a versioned regular backup that you can always go back in time to. Carbonite's not bad.
That's what
I use. It's pretty decent.
For my personal.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
I like it. It made switching computers really easy.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the other part of it. For businesses, smaller businesses, you know, 3, 4, 5, heck, even 2 people in an office, my recommendation is to get you a file sharing solution in place as soon as possible. We don't like to depend just on the cloud for that sort of thing because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
So we use a network attached storage, just a network drive for smaller businesses. And it's the next best thing to a server.
Sure.
It really is. And
sure.
Then we can back that up to the cloud automatically and you never have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Another one of Alan, where we kind of just friends about it, we agree about it, is Alan, you actually have a network group every other Friday 7:30, they get together at Grand Zines. The thing I love about it, and you know where I'm at, you know where I'm going with this, is I'm not big on network groups just because I'm a highly social person. I love to hang out and drink and talk to people, but I hate like constantly being pitched to.
Yeah.
It bothers me.
Yeah.
And so when I heard about your group, and I made it to a couple of them, and I love the theory of it's nobody pitching anything.
Nobody.
You come and go as if you want. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
How you started it?
Breakfast Club? Or?
Yeah, I've been in, you know, I've been in networking groups, for paid networking groups, and they have their place, referral groups, and you know they can be good for business, especially if you're just starting out because you get to meet more people that way. And same thing with like the chamber mixers and all. It's a good place to just make connections. But as the business matured, I hate to say not depend on that as much because I'll take it where it comes, right?
Right.
But I just burned out on it all. You know, meeting every week, you've got a certain structure to it, you got to make presentations, you're tracking how many referrals you give and all this sort of stuff. I said, you know what, I just want to get together with people and get to know them.
Yeah.
Because I'm like you, John. I'm a social person. I'm interested in what people are doing.
Right.
You know, when you guys started doing this podcast, I told John, man, this is cool. Man.
Yeah.
This is really cool. And so I've listened to a few of them on LinkedIn, and you know, it was the idea for this breakfast thing was, hey, it's Grand Zines, first of all. I mean,
who doesn't love Grand Zines?
It's a pretty good
breakfast. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I could eat those every day.
Right.
No, I shouldn't. But so the fact that I really can't eat them every day, I said, okay, every 2 weeks I'll have one at least. So, you know, it was just a small group of guys I knew. You know, Neil is one of them. And,
yeah.
And a couple of my clients that I've become good friends with. And I just started a little email, you know, meeting thing in Outlook and just said, hey, you know, we're going to be there, you know, show up if you can, hang around as long as you want, you know, and it's just sit around and talk, see what's good. And what you'll find is, and I've gotten business out of it actually, but what you'll find is you'll hear about what's going on in the area.
It's actually the most educational thing, like of a I hate to call it a network because it's not even really that. It's more just friends hanging out for Friday before we close out the week. But, you know, the conversations, I learned more about economic development and the plan of this town and that group than you do at all the bullshit, you know, no offense to people with the chamber. I'm a part of the chamber and all that, but those type of things, right?
Sure.
The captive audience type of stuff.
Do you, have you ever had to tell anybody, like, this is not the group to do this? Like, have you ever?
No.
Everybody kind of is.
No, not, and I've told people, you know, invite others if you want to. That's fine. And they have. And I've met, you know, other people through that that have become somewhat regular. But it is. There's no formality to it.
Sure.
I mean, I've shown up and it's been just me a couple of times. Yeah. You know, well, yeah, I told them, I'm going to go eat a taco anyway. If right. you guys want to come, that's fine.
Yeah, that's kind of our theory too. We're going to drink some beers anyway. It'd be cool if we did it with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So where do you see, you know, your business kind of moving in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years? I mean, it's, we talked about it earlier, it's a growing market, you know, it's, oh, yeah. You're right in the middle of everything. Is there a lot of competition for what you're doing in this area? Do you find that business is picking up? What do you hope to achieve with this?
You know, one of the reasons I really chose this area as my franchise territory was not as competitive, right? I'm not dealing with the bigger guys in Austin and San Antonio. I still get into some of those every now and then. Competition-wise, I don't even know. I don't just don't even pay attention to them. I mean, we do what we do, and our goal is to be the best out there. And that's what we work on.
Well, he's got to establish. You got to establish business too.
Yeah,
you got your circle that you've established with. Right?
Yeah, I've got a good foundation of business now, and you know, my goal is just to build on that and grow it. I don't know how large it can get. You know, in this type of business, you can either be a lifestyle business or you can go all out and try to be, you know, the next Bill Gates or whatever, but. We got everything that and everything in between in our franchise system.
Sure.
We got guys who are making millions of dollars a year off this thing.
Yeah. So, you know where this is going. We've danced around it. Where are you at on the economic development going on in New Braunfels?
You know where I am. I think it's a good thing. I think, and I will say, I do like what I see in this city with the dialogue that's going on.
Right.
You know, we have some disagreements, but I think it's important that dialogue happens so that we manage this growth. Things are going to happen. You're not going to stop it.
Right.
You know, let's just make sure it happens in the right way. I want to do everything we can to protect this downtown area and keep the character that it has. You know, and businesses like New Braunfels Brewing here are perfect for that. I love what downtown New Braunfels is. And when people come here, and I've had people come down and visit from Austin and grab lunch or whatever, you know, we go to Krause's, Faust, or somewhere like that, and they're like, man,
this is awesome.
This is a neat place. Now, the downside of that is the great hipster migration from Austin to San Antonio, right?
I got my man bun under my hat, actually.
Get ready, man. It's coming.
Oh, well. You know? gotta find space for everybody.
But I'm like, hey, come on
yeah,
in. You know,
yeah.
Come on in. I tell people all over the country now, come on to Texas, man. It's great. We got plenty of room.
Yeah.
You know, and we do, you know.
But I'm
pro growth everywhere. And 20 years ago or whenever it was when I moved to Austin, it was a very similar thing. You had people, you know, who were wanting to grow it. And Kelly mentioned earlier about the highways and all. Yeah, that was it. They're paying for it now, trust me. Because there is an outflow from there because of traffic, a large part of it.
I would have moved to Austin specifically because of the traffic.
Well, that place would have had a loop 15 years ago.
That 45 loop is what they needed all the way around the city. That's
yep.
the problem with that city now. There's no loop.
But, you know, a lot of
yep.
local people were like,
nope,
not going to build that through Lakeway. Yep. We will not allow it.
Well, and you had don't build it and they won't come. And then
right.
you had the people, I've got mine. I don't care if you get yours. You know, let's stop this growth right now. People were saying, then you're not going to stop it.
Yep.
You're not going to stop it.
Right.
People are coming to this state because of the opportunities. I moved to New Braunfels because of opportunities.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be here otherwise.
Well, you're from Mississippi too. It's not California.
Yeah, right,
so
exactly.
That's
so
okay.
I moved to Texas for opportunity.
Yeah.
I love Californians, by the way. Especially the ones in California. And I'm happy for them to move here. Let's just not turn it into California, right, because that thing is dysfunctional at this point.
Yeah.
But it's good. There was a literature editor in the paper this morning, just anti-growth, and it's just, I don't want to call it ignorance, but you know, you're just sticking your head in the sand, because it's going to happen.
Like I said,
between Austin and San Antonio, this place is a jewel.
No, and the thing is, it's not if it happens or if it won't happen. It's when it happens and how it happens. And those are the questions that we should be asking. And those are the questions that we should be focused on. Is not you know, do you want it or not, but how do you want it?
Yeah.
And what's the best for you and for our families and for the longevity of the city?
I have to reel myself in on this because I almost get pissed about it. But it's like, you know, it's one thing to be, you know, to say no to things, and I'm not for that, or even people that have been here like 5 years and they're saying, oh no, this is a horrible idea. But it's another thing, like Neil actually, our buddy Neil says it best. It's like, you know, if you got a problem or you think that that's not the right way to do things, get involved. Come to the meetings, educate yourself.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, we were talking about that back in May.
Put together a movement or put together some sort of a campaign to get your idea some momentum and be about solutions. But don't just be no.
A solution is no, but it's not a solution. It will work.
Yeah. What is just complaining without an idea or a solution that you have ready to go to solve the problem?
Yeah.
It's bitching.
Bitching.
So that's where I'm at on it. And I don't want to like derail or anything, but I think it's something that people need to think about.
So if you could, you know, moving through your customer base and who your target audience is, small business, you know, has a need for IT support. Do you find that most of your customers, your clients, I should say, are, you know, that retention that you build the first time they have a problem, you fix the problem, and then you kind of just, they keep coming back to you? Or is a lot of your customers, your clients, transactional?
Well, our business model is managed services, which is a subscription base. So we're typically a 2-year contract from the beginning.
Okay.
I do very little what we call break fix. I will do some of that. It's usually just if we have the time.
Yeah.
But you know, as far as the managed services model goes, we're in there monitoring and managing their network 24/7. So, you know, as far as retention goes, I've lost two customers. One went out of business, and the other one had a change in the CFO's company out of Seguin, and the guy decided he wanted to use a buddy out of San Antonio instead of us.
That speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Pretty low. I don't know the numbers, but that's pretty high, pretty low churn.
We have low turnover in our customer base, but you know, we focus on, and everybody says that we focus on customer service, but I tell my guys that customer service begins with solving problems. If we're not solving their problem, they're not going to be happy. So that's what we focus on, just the technical side of things, of solving the problem. And you know, the biggest obstacle for me a lot of times is just the cost of doing things. Right? You need a new server because the one you have is 8 years old, you know, and it's not supported anymore or whatever. Yeah, it's a little bit of sticker shock to a lot of people.
Sure,
but once we get it in, get it up and going, get them running,
they get it.
It melts away. You know, they're like, man, this is great. You know, you're solving all these problems with it.
And with the business, and like you said, with data being so important, it's a cost of doing business, and they're going to recoup their cost, or it's going to be something that, when it's all said and done and they get past the initial sticker value, that there's so much more value in having a technology that's updated to what they actually need, or maybe even give them some ability to grow into what they need, right? When you pitch to clients, do you typically pitch like a need base or long-term vision, or just does it depend on the client?
It depends on the client. I have to try to read them. I mean, I'm not a salesperson, you know. My background is engineering, right? I mean, I've had deals closed where they're basically calling me 3 times saying, what do we need to do to get started? And I'm like, oh, okay. I guess we're done with the sales process. I guess I closed that one. Right? But, it just depends on the client. Some people, you know, they just want to nurse along what they have, and that's fine. We can do that. I just tell them when it breaks, and we fix it up, you know, however we can. But there are others who are more open to, and we have some very intelligent business people in this area, by the way,
right.
Very intelligent people. And they see these things. They know what they need to do, and you know, for those, we just try to guide them. You know, this is what you need to be thinking about 6 months out, a year out, 2 years out, that sort of thing. So that, you know, that's the way we handle it. It just depends on what they're looking for and what they really need. One of the hardest sales I have is trying to convince people that technology will save you money, because it will make you more efficient. And where it comes down to saving you money is you don't have to hire that next person as soon as you think you might. Right.
Right.
And we've seen that. We've seen that in several cases where, you know, they just had people doing, it turns out, really just busy work because they thought they were that busy or they had that much to do, when really it was just the way they were doing things, you know. I've also got cases where we've gone in and gotten them on the right path, and they've grown, and they grow painlessly, right? They don't worry about adding people. They don't worry about the IT because they know it's taken care of.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's been very, very rewarding.
People don't realize a lot of times just the simple things of your IT network, just like if your connection is bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that means that your assistant is going to have to unplug her computer LAN connection 4 times before she sets the next meeting or whatever.
Yeah.
And that is all time, and that's all money.
Time is money. Absolutely.
But anyways, so as we bring this home, Alan, I think one of the questions that we always ask in this type of format, if you could go back, let's say you go back to when you first got into the semiconductor business and you're kind of figuring out the directions of where your life was going to go when you're maybe 20, 21 years old, or maybe when you just got out of college. You could go back and give yourself some advice and some leadership about, you know, going through the rest of your life. What would you say?
I would say start a business now.
Yeah?
I'm a reluctant entrepreneur. You know, I was somewhat forced into it by circumstances. But business ownership is a pathway in this case. It's one of the remaining pathways in this country for the common man to build wealth.
Right.
And to build wealth that lasts, that can be passed on to the next generation. It's a powerful, powerful thing. And I didn't understand. I didn't come, you know, my parents worked for others their whole lives and never really had anything because of it. So I didn't understand, you know, what was possible. These last 5 years have been an eye-opener for me. I love my days now because I work out of, I've got an office here in town on South Seguin, and I work out of my home office myself. My tech's sitting in the office here. And so I live out in Oak Run, and I work out of my home office. And, God, it's just the most liberating thing in the world. I have total control over my schedule every day. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of work to do. I work 60, 70 hours a week, most weeks. You know, I work on the weekends, but I work on what I want to work on, how I want to do it. The freedom is just tremendous. But, you know, that ownership of something is what I think a lot of people miss, especially early on in life.
And when you're early on in life, you can take more risk.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't have as much responsibility. You can make bolder, more aggressive moves potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I could live in a tent if I had to, right? I can't really do that now.
I think that's one of the downsides of our society. Is one of a good friend of mine, Daryl, who is actually our first guest on the show. We had a conversation one time. He said the worst thing that could happen is you'll have to get on government assistance, right? Yeah. He said we live in such a great country that they won't let you fail. But one of, I think, the downsides of business entrepreneurialism is that we do kind of hold on to those material things. It's kind of like, oh, I don't want to have to give up my Netflix account.
Yeah.
But to your point, I think it's right. Like you have, there are sacrifices to be made, but the payoff is great if it works well.
Delayed gratification. Right?
Exactly.
You got to be able to look down the road a long ways. And if I can give anybody, you know, advice, especially midlife like I did starting a business, you know, 2 pieces of advice I can give people is make sure you have a long runway, which better be well funded depending on what the business is. And cash flow is key. Cash flow, cash flow, cash flow. I watch cash flow every day. I know what's coming in, I know what's going out, I know when.
Yeah.
And that has been crucial for me to keep doing it. I mean, I stopped, you know, at around the 5 year mark and said, gosh, I've been in business for 5 years. You know, according to some statistics, that's pretty darn good, right?
3 years is the mark, right?
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
So, you know, I look at it now, and like most business owners, I wake up with fear that it's all going to fall apart every day, right? The one thing I don't do as much as I did in probably the first 3 years is, you know, there were times where I would have given this business away for a 12-pack of beer. get this damn thing away from me. I'm sick of this stuff. I don't do that as much anymore. But any entrepreneur who tells you that they don't, you know, think about bailing fairly regularly is, you know,
either lucky or delusional.
Either lucky or, yeah, they're lying to
you. What about those moments where it's like it all comes together and you have like that clarity, you're like, this is what I was meant to do?
Well, you know, the thing I've found in life is don't let the highs get too high or the lows too low. Try to be even keeled. I mean, I've had wins and losses. I lost that client I lost to his buddy in San Antonio. That was a big client. It took me a year to recover from that as far as revenue goes, monthly revenue. That was painful, man. I mean, I laid awake at nights over that one for a while. But I've had some big wins, too, that have been great. What I celebrate the most in my business is when we nail it, when we put a solution in place, and all of a sudden, for the client, the clarity is there. They're like, oh, my gosh, I never thought things could work this well. You know, that's the ones I celebrate.
And that's what we should all celebrate, really, is like when you bring and provide value to our customers and our clients. I mean, that's what business is really about, and good business is always about, is, you know, providing value. John Hill and I are very passionate about providing value to our listeners and any sort of business venture we get into. So tell us, how will your customers or clients or potential clients get a hold of you? How should they find you on the internet?
Other than LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn's great, by the way, if you want to connect with them. They can reach me at on the World Wide Web at cmitsolutions.com. Or they can call me. Well, I don't need my phone number, I guess, but I guess I could, right?
You could.
830-515-4151.
All your IT solutions. Share
these brothels, everything you need. You know, I give free advice, too, and it's worth that usually. So.
And also you can come and hang out with you at, what is it, every other Friday?
Yeah, come to Grand Zines every other Friday. I think the next one is not this next Friday, but the one after that. So 7:30-ish, 7:45, somewhere around there, we show up.
Cool.
We'll have to catch you there sometime.
Yeah, we definitely need to stop by there. I know, I need to go there.
Yeah. Alan, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate it. We learned a lot about CMIT Solutions, and we've talked a lot about new brothels. That was great.
Yeah, IT support at this scale, I don't think we've never really dove into this.
Not really.
Area, so. We appreciate it, man. I'm glad we finally worked it out and got you on.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it, too. I had to cancel before because my daughter had a volleyball tournament in San Antonio.
I know you're at that point in life where you got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, family is very important. Yeah.
That's been the better part of it, too, getting out of the corporate world, spending time with my family.
Amen to that.
That's awesome. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Cheers to Business Podcast. My name is John Kubluck.
This is John Hill.
And as always, cheers.
Cheers. Cool, man.